And a fine afternoon it is. Good to have some sun, isn't it? A few days ago I was coming back to Barrie from being away for the day, and it was getting towards twilight. It was quite dark, but still some light in the sky, and this piece of darker darkness started to come across the road, and then it turned into a bear. It was so dark. It was dark, but this was darker, and it was big, so I saw a bear crossing the road, not right around here, a little ways away. And I love bears. And then lately, on several occasions, I've seen a small porcupine around on the backside of the loop. I think some of you might have seen the porcupine. And I love the porcupine very much, with all of its spikiness. And I was having a video conference meeting with a student of mine who lives in Europe, who I check in with somewhat regularly, and I was telling them how much I was, you know, loving teaching this long retreat and meeting with you over these weeks, and how inspiring the meetings were, and how great you all were, and then I told her about the bear and the porcupine, and she said, you know, that's when you really got so bright and enthusiastic. She said, that's when you kind of came alive. So I just thought you should know that I do think you're great and I love you, but you know, I need to know where you stand relative to bears and porcupines, just so we're clear about these things. This is important. You know, you guys are great and you're not furry. And you're not spiky. Well, you're kind of spiky sometimes. We all get spiky on occasion, don't we? So today, so that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're doing here today. Actually, not true. It has everything to do with it. I'm just not sure of the direct connection, but as I was coming into the hall, and as I often do on the way in or out, I stopped to in front of the beautiful statue of Kuan Yin that's in the upper walking room here, and I like to pay my respects to this bodhisattva of compassion. Kuan Yin represents this attunement to compassion, which I'm going to introduce as a Brahma Vihara practice today. And when I stand there in front of this statue, the words that come into my mind almost always are the wish, may all beings be free of suffering and free of the causes of suffering. And Kuan Yin is said to be able to hear the suffering, hear the cries of all beings, to hold that and to embody and respond from this, from the heart of compassion. And the Buddha is said to have been moved to teach out of this heart of compassion, maha karuna, sometimes it's said. It was maha karuna that moved the heart. This great maha means great, great compassion. And it said it was this seeing the suffering in the world, seeing beings trying to be happy, to find happiness, and at the same time doing the very things that caused them to suffer. And in seeing this, moved to teach, moved to try to offer something that would help bring understanding to that and undo those causes, the causes for stress, struggle, suffering in our lives. And so this second Brahma Vihara, Karuna, kind of sounds like what it is. Karuna. This quality of compassion. You could say it arises when we are actually able to open to, able to see, to touch, to feel, sense this, the nature of suffering. Suffering is an aspect in ways large and small. It's part of life for all beings at times. We see it in our own mind and heart. We see it in the world around us. And compassion gives us a wise and skillful and brave way to meet that suffering, to show up for it, to connect with it, sit with it, bear witness from a place of empathy and a place of courage, strength, even joy. And it gives us the ability to bring those qualities forward and to the fore, rather than falling into pity or grief or rage against compassion and against rage or despair in the face of the magnitude of it, because sometimes it can seem so huge. And so this word karuna in Pali that gets translated as compassion, sometimes it's likened to the heart responding or trembling or being moved by suffering. The heart's response and the wish to alleviate it. And this is something that we all feel. It's a natural response of the heart. We encounter suffering at least some of the time. It's the response of the wise heart. And so in developing this and in attuning to and nurturing and developing compassion, then the first step there really is this opening to this truth of suffering, understanding that this is part of life. Pain, sorrow, struggle, difficulty, in large ways, small ways, as I was saying, happens for all beings. It's universal, it's common to all who take birth on this plane. And Dharma was speaking to this so directly and clearly the other night. It's not a mistake or somehow wrong or bad. It's part of life, and it's not all there is to life. There are all of the joys and beauties, and that's very much an aspect of life also. You know, we get these worldly conditions, and we get the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows, as Dara was saying the other night. You know, we tend to see suffering, pain, difficulty, stress, all these words we can use, as we tend to look at it as wrong or bad or something that shouldn't be happening, something that we should deny or resist or turn away from somehow, or that we should have been able to avoid, that beings should be able to avoid this. Sometimes almost a kind of blaming, as though it's our fault, someone's fault. Or we do a lot to try to avoid feeling it. All the different things we do, different kinds of consumptions, or ways that we try to hide this aspect of life away, numbing out so we don't have to feel it. And we hide things like aging, sickness, and the process of dying and death away. As though that we shouldn't have to see that. So it's wrong. as though getting old, getting sick, having the incredible bad taste to die, to get old and then die. It's like it's a reflection of bad taste. Though if we had our act together, it wouldn't happen. I have this magazine someone gave me once. It's a Time magazine. It says, "Can Google solve death?" As though it's a thing to be solved. It's a mistake that should be corrected somehow. It shouldn't be happening. So we try to turn away from so much in this regard. So we need to find a way to actually start to open to it skillfully, carefully. And then following on from that is this sense of acknowledging that it exists, to open to it in a way that is skillful, so that we don't get overwhelmed. So we don't slip into the near enemy of pity, of feeling sorry for, that has the sense of keeping things at a distance, sort of sorry for you over there, but it's over there and I'm not connected to it. It's actually not, it resembles compassion. Or raging against it, you know, and there's a sense the heart is moved, but it's not real compassion. Real compassion rests on a mind of equanimity that knows that the things are the way they are, and that sorrow and stress and difficulty come in a life. That's part of things. We see things in terms of suffering and not non-suffering, rather than the judgment of right or wrong or good or bad. And so then we can actually open skillfully and find the heart that is brave and strong and connected in the face of it. And then compassion is active when it can be active. It's not a passive quality. It acts to alleviate suffering when there is an action that can be done. Compassion will name injustice and will take actions to address it. Will act with strength and a kind of fearlessness and really be really engaged. But sometimes there isn't a way to be engaged. And then what compassion can do is not turn away, can stay. It's like it says, "I'll stay here." It's like we say to ourselves, say to another, I won't abandon myself, I won't abandon you because you're having a hard time, because there's pain and suffering. So it has this kind of bravery that will allow us to stay and show up and sit with suffering. So I think it's got this quality of bravery or courage. I like the word courage in association related to compassion, because the root of that word comes from the Latin languages, and the root word is the word for heart. A root for courage. It's cuore in French and cuori in Italian and corazon in Spanish. All these words, that's the word for heart. And so heartfulness. So to me, compassion is this kind of deep heartfulness and the courageous aspect of that. And so it's, you know, people sometimes think it has this sense of shouldering another's burden, or that somehow it means that we'll take on so much and the heart will break, you know, that it maybe is even kind of a weak stance in life somehow. But compassion is nothing like that. It's empowering and strengthening, and it can even be a joyful, I think it really is when it's truly developed, it's a very joyful quality, brave and strong and joyful and connected and all those good things, even though it's connecting with what's difficult in life, with where there is suffering. So we'll do a little bit of guided meditation now. And there's different ways that this and any of the Brahma Viharas can be approached and done as a meditation practice. And in the same way as metta, we can go through different kind of categories of beings and using an image and phrases and words. And we'll do that a bit today, but I'm going to guide it in a more receptive way, where we're more letting that quality come to us. But it'll be a blend of that and maybe the more ascending and receiving, but focus more on the receiving today. And I've had some influence, I would say, the words that I'm going to offer have at least some connection to and influenced by guided meditations by a teacher named Lama John McCransky in the Tibetan tradition. And he has a lot of, he does a lot of work with compassion and self-compassion and compassion in a broader sense. And this isn't one of his meditations, this is mine, but I want to acknowledge that's in there. So finding a posture, if you wish to make any adjustments to your posture now so that it's more comfortable in any way, stretching for a moment if you'd like to, or adjusting how the posture is, whether you're sitting or kneeling or in a chair or possibly reclining or even standing, inviting ease, inviting relaxation to any places where there is tension, where you might notice that in the body. And as we begin this guided meditation, we'll start just from a place of being rather than doing. Kind of place of real simplicity, of letting go of any kinds of doings or focuses or anything like that. And what's it like to just be a living being, being alive here just as you are? It doesn't matter how you are. It's like this right now, whether the mood is sleepy or grumpy or happy or interested or bored or wishing you hadn't come and had spent a little more time outside in the sun, or glad you're here. It's all okay, just as you are right now. No focus or anything that feels like something you're trying to do. And if you want to, you can kind of incline or invite some quality of attention or awareness to the area at the base of the sternum that we call the heart center. It's kind of a very soft, tender spot there. You could breathe into that part of the body or place a hand or the fingertips there if you want. If it sounds interesting or you found it to bring awareness to this part of the body has some utility for you or some sense of helping you to be grounded or connected. Not trying to create or find some special sensation or elicit something. Just a gentle, warm hand of friendship, perhaps. And then see if one or maybe more beings might come into the mind. You can invite in beings who are kind of in the territory of an easy being or maybe more even a benefactor or just someone or ones where it's a pretty simple relationship, maybe familiar from your metta practice, just a being or beings who are personal to you, who are in your life, and who you know care for you. Just wish you well in a simple way. They don't ask anything of you. You don't have to prove anything to them. They just wish you well, because almost they can almost not help it. It could be someone who's in your life now or who was in your life at another time. It might be a teacher or a relative, a dear friend who you know you could count on. And you can assemble a small group of them if more than one comes. If you can't find anybody, I don't know if I would work, but I wish you well. Promise you that. I always wish you well. So you could try me. I don't know. But I recommend you find your own, but you can have me there. I could show up once in a while. And you could also, if you want, it may work for you to kind of invite in possibly some more archetypal benefactors or beings that you can connect to as wishing you well. You know, maybe the Buddha or other great prophets and teachers over the ages, or ones you've heard of or maybe ones you've met, maybe someone like Dipama or Mahagosananda or or Jesus, or one of the great saints, Ramana Maharshi, or Maharaji Neem Karoli Baba. Or His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who just seems to radiate care and compassion. You just feel it, it just comes out of him. And if you're near him, you get to be bathed in it. If any of those kinds of beings might come into your mind that are more not so personal. And these images or feelings of these beings, they may come and go. They're not necessarily going to just be there in a steady way. It's fine for them to come and go. And you can picture them, the one or more of them, they might be around you or in front of you or behind you or wherever feels like a good place for them to be, so that the energy of well-wishing, the love that they're sending you, that's in the form of the wish that you be free of suffering, free of stress, difficulties. Maybe they're behind you or in front or around, holding your hand perhaps. Maybe they're holding you gently with a soft touch and embrace. And they're just sending you wishes of love and care and comfort in the form of, in this form where they know that sometimes life is hard and sometimes we really struggle, and they wish that you would be free of suffering in relation to the difficulties that come. There's this compassion. And it's like light, or a warm breeze, or a gentle radiance that can wash over and through you and touch every cell and every part of you, like being in a bath. You just let it come in really simply. Maybe they're using words. Maybe you can hear them saying words to you. But maybe it's more quiet and gentle and just like being washed with a gentle radiance. And let it in. Let it soak in and wash through you, touch every part of you. Because this is their deepest wish for you. You always be free of suffering and free of the causes of suffering. Open to any areas of tension or physical pain that might be in the body. Maybe your back is hurting, or hips or knees aching, or any areas that feel tight or tense, or or painful. These beings know what it's like to have tension and pain in the body because they've had bodies, they have bodies. And they wish you to be free of suffering in relation to these pains that come to all of us. And so let that gentle radiation of well-wishing, their wish that you be free of pain and tension, their caring, let that wash through these tight, tense, painful spots like a balm or a warming, soothing energy, like light. Let it soak in. Be like an animal curled up in a sunny pool, a pool of sunlight, like a cat or a dog will do. They'll just soak in it. It's like a marinade of warmth. Let it wash over and through you like that. You might bring to mind some of the kinds of daily anxieties and pressures that we all feel, I think, at times about meeting our responsibilities or the obligations that we have and the ways others may be dependent on us. And that sometimes can feel stressful. It can cause a sense of dis-ease or anxiety, worry in the mind. It can cause tension in the body. And even though maybe now on retreat, it's not so much in the forefront, they're there. There are those who count on us, who we need to be responsible for, perhaps, or just what it's like to make ends meet and take care of the daily needs. And sense what it's like. All of us live with this, with these kinds of pressures and worries. And these beings who care for you, they're sending you these soft wishes for ease in the face of that, wishing you to be free of trouble and worry in your mind. You'll be able to meet your obligations and responsibilities without suffering. Let that wish wash over and through you, bathing every part of you like light, like a warm breeze. Sense into what it's like when we have fears or worries about what others think of us. Ways that we compare ourselves with others and come up short and feel we're not as good. Worries that we'll be misunderstood or judged unfairly. Just sense what it's like to feel this way at times, to feel judged or to feel we're comparing ourselves unfairly, that others won't think we're any good. They'll think badly of us. Then receive the wish for you to be free of these worries and troubles in your mind from these one or more of these caring beings, these benefactors or dear beings. It's as though they're saying with words or through this energetic radiance that they care. I care about this. I care about you. I won't abandon you just because you're feeling that way. And maybe add your own wish for yourself in with theirs. Reassure yourself that you won't ever abandon yourself. Tell yourself, I care about this and I'll stay with you. May you be free of suffering. May I be free of suffering and free of the causes. Use words if it helps you. And at any point, as I'm speaking, you may offer these wishes outwards to these dear beings also. Mostly receiving, but also sending this. Sending to yourself, sending to these others. Because they have hard times too. Sense into how difficult it is when we feel like we're not good enough in some way, or there's something wrong with us. We're like, I'll never get it. I can't do it, and I'm no good. There's something wrong with me. These painful feelings that sometimes come to us. We have to live with these feelings. And let this wish for your freedom from suffering wash through those kinds of feelings. Like a gentle massage or a balm or a ray of light or a warmth. It just soothes those feelings. Caresses them with this gentle wish that you be free of suffering in this way. This reassurance that these beings care. Tell yourself also, I care about this. And I won't abandon you. I'll never abandon you when you feel this way. Tell yourself that if you can. And let these beings offer you these wishes. Let that in. Let it wash through you. Maybe feelings of longing or of being incomplete, of loneliness, of loss, of betrayal, perhaps, fear of illness. Any of those kinds of feelings that come to us in life, sense into what it's like. We live with these. These are part of what we experience in our days. Bathe those feelings with this energy of care, with this wish that you be at ease and free of suffering. Receive that and offer it to yourself as well. And now, if you haven't already done so, you start to let go of any images or words. You don't have to push them away. They might stay, but let go of any doing around coming up with images or feelings or words. Let them fade if they wish to fade. Coming back to the simplicity where we started, where you let go of anything that feels like something you're doing. Something you're trying to practice or cultivate. Let that go. Let that feeling completely go. Maybe there's some field of warmth or energy that's there from what we've been doing, but maybe not. Maybe that's fading too. Maybe it never was there. And just let go of anything you're working on or trying to do. There's nothing to do now, and there's no one to be. No practice of any kind. Nothing to look for and nothing to find. There's nothing to get and nothing to get rid of. There's nothing to hold on to and nothing to let go of. There's no inside, no outside. There's no meditation. There's no one who's trying to meditate. This golden light coming in might be good to go out and get into it. We don't really have time for questions now, although I could stay for a couple of minutes. But one thing I wanted to say before you all go is that I meant to say at the beginning, at the introduction, is sometimes in these kinds of guided meditations, we're just not connecting, or else what happens is the mind may just really rebel, or we could just feel, you know, a lot of anger, or, you know, I've had times sitting in these guided meditations where I just hate everything. You know, it's like I'm supposed to be trying to find compassion, and all I can, I hate you, and I hate everything. And that can happen. And we need to have the mindfulness practice as a fallback if that's what comes up. If we're trying to sort of do some compassion-y thing or some metta thing and the mind is saying, no, I hate it, then we have to attend to that. And that's the movement of compassion, is to attend carefully and tenderly to that mind that is screaming no. And And it's part of, it's good to remember that's part of what happens. And if that happens, that's not a bad sign. That's maybe even a good sign. Because part of what happens with these practices is purification. And purification sometimes doesn't feel so good or look so beautiful in the moment. But it's a good thing. So just remember, you always have that fallback to turn the quality of caring mindfulness on the energy that may show up there, because sometimes we just can't connect to the what's been offered in the guided meditation. And if you want to begin to weave the compassion, the karuna, the compassion practice in over the next days, you can do it in this more receptive way, or you can do it just in the same way as the metta. It's the quality of metta, but it's tuning to suffering in all the forms that are there. And so you can go through different categories of beings. Often we start with someone we know who's having some challenges, where we can feel how difficult it is for them in a real way, and we can connect through there. And then we go through different beings, our dear and easy beings, and our friends, and more neutral and more difficult beings. So it can be done just in the same way as the metta. But this attunement to struggle, stress, suffering, difficulty, and the wish to be that others or ourselves be free of that. So it's just now almost 4:30, and anybody who wants to leave should leave. Are there any questions that really burning ones that need to be asked right now in about this practice? Okay, let's get up and move these bodies. That would be compassionate. And get out into that color out there that's happening as the day draws to a close.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.